Help me, interventionist. I don't think John should say things like settle down. That doesn't help anything, does it?
No, in the history of settle down or calm down, that's never ever one time helped somebody settle or calm down.
Twice he said that this morning. So
okay, what might you say to me? What might you say to me then?
If I
go on a rant.
Maybe just, you know, what we could just do, or what should Heidi say to you?
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things when people are kind of losing their stuff, if adults in particular, is to just put my hand on my chin and say, tell me more about that.
So here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you are very upset.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Okay.
Eventually, he'll tire himself out.
It sounds like a mediation session.
I enjoy saying to John, knock it off.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing for me to say.
Well, that's
just you. Yeah.
If it was my kids, that's what I would say.
Knock it off.
Or are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or for my kids, when they do things at home, I usually say, are you new here?
Or do you repeat something and say, Heidi, so here's what I'm hearing. You're very upset that somebody's not calling in.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think that'd be good.
Thanks.
So the first time, we don't want Mickey to get in trouble, but first time I met Mickey, she came to a cookie swap with Andy, who was in like second grade, I think.
Correct.
Did you just call the culvert?
Yeah, she did.
What the heck is going on here?
She probably just...
I've arrived at my destination. I'm out of the culvert.
Well, you turned into a baritone in like 30 seconds. Sorry.
So that's how I first met her. And then, you know, we get to hear from her from time to time. And she's been a listener and member. Why do you listen? Why do you support this station, Mickey?
Well, I mean, I think this conversation just really, really embodies it all right there. I like the, you know, anybody who knows me knows I love local things, and I'm very passionate about our local community and how many resources we have here. And this is one of them, and I love it.
Well, we love you, and you got to bring your dogs by sometime. I haven't seen them in so long. I could go on a bike ride, though, and check them out.
You could. You could, and just watch for all the kids. You never
No kidding.
Yeah, bring her some
crapola. You never know how many kids you're going to have to wade through to get to the dogs.
And so. Do you have, like, lights in that culvert, or...?
Oh, well, you know, lights are expensive, John. So we do what we can. The winter, it's dark and lonely, but...
Well, we got to finish the shtick. Now, for being on What's for Breakfast, you do receive a parting gift.
From Homestead Mills now, it's either country blend cereal or wild rice pancakes, and it's not for 9 people, though. So it could cause a problem.
That's fine.
She knows
if
how to keep
are good,
the food.
I don't like to share them with my children anyway. I feed them Oprah pizzas.
Oh, gosh. What did you say you wanted?
I want the cereal.
Okay.
Hey, have a good day. Thanks for doing what you do.
Hey, thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Mickey Anderson, our guest on What's for Breakfast. She's from Grand Rapids. Are you a member? It's new member Friday. You get some crapola. You get to be in a cool crowd like Mickey. People who love local things, who support the folks that bicker on the air once in a while, not so often. We'll hug it out because she gave us good advice.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to you. 800-662-5799. New member Friday. Become a member now.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Hurricane Dorian is slamming the Carolinas. It hammered Charleston, South Carolina, with heavy downpours and pounding wind gusts. A spokesman for North Myrtle Beach City says a Category 1 storm spurred suspected tornadoes, damaging several homes there. But as NPR's Bobby Allen reports, Dorian caused far less damage than feared.
The storm sent trees tumbling and flooding ground the city of Charleston to a halt. But the dire prediction of a direct hit in South Carolina didn't come true. Slumped over spreadsheets at the city's Emergency Operations Center, a relieved Mayor John Tecklenburg reflected on the day.
We had Dorian Day here in Charleston. We're very hospitable here in Charleston. We didn't really welcome this fella, but he stayed most of the day. We're glad to see him gone. Maybe a little good riddance, maybe a hallelujah.
Tecklenburg's focus now is on restoring power to more than half of the city's residents and clearing the debris-strewn roads. He says he's also saying a prayer for North Carolina. Bobby Allen, NPR News, Charleston.
The National Hurricane Center says Dorian is moving north and it's slamming the outer banks of North Carolina with hurricane force wind gusts. Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's longtime leader, has died. He came to power in 1980 after a guerrilla war ended white minority rule in then Rhodesia. Heralded as a model leader, that image was eroded, though, as his leadership became more authoritarian. NPR's Afabia Quist-Arkton has more.
Under Mugabe's watch, Zimbabwe suffered runaway inflation, mass unemployment, and chronic food, water, electricity, and fuel shortages. Hospitals stopped functioning. Ultimately, Mugabe was forced into an uneasy power-sharing deal with the opposition's Changirai.
Robert Mugabe was 95 years old. Jury selection starts today in the murder trial of former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger, who shot and killed her upstairs neighbor when, according to the defense, she mistakenly entered his apartment thinking it was her own. NPR's Wade Goodwin reports.
It was exactly 1 year ago today, Amber Geiger was coming off a double shift when she parked on the fourth floor of her apartment building's garage instead of the third. Off duty but still in uniform, Geiger somehow opened Botham John's front door, saw him standing in his living room, pulled her service revolver, and shot him dead. Geiger says it was only when she turned on the lights that she realized she wasn't in her apartment. Most of the facts of the case are not in dispute. The jury must decide if Geiger's conduct constitutes murder. Jury selection is expected to be difficult and contentious. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Dallas.
This is NPR News. Health officials in New York say lab tests show high levels of vitamin E in cartridges of e-cigarettes used by people who have developed severe lung damage. And here's Allison Aubrey reports the cartridges appear to have been purchased off the street.
Nationwide, more than 200 people have fallen ill and been hospitalized with severe respiratory symptoms after vaping. Now, the health commissioner of New York, Howard Zucker, says very high levels of vitamin E found in cartridges that also contain THC is a focus of the investigation. Zucker says the cartridges are not coming from approved medical dispensaries.
This is a situation of people buying products that have been laced with markedly elevated amounts of vitamin E.
Vitamin E is usually safe as a supplement or cream, but when it's inhaled deep in the lung, Zucker says it can be harmful. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.
Economists say they think the government's monthly jobs report, due out this morning, will show that employers added 160,000 jobs in August, and that would be another solid jobs report. This despite headwinds facing the economy. The manufacturing sector has weakened, and the services sector has been impacted by the trade war with China. This report is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. World financial markets, Asian markets closed higher. The Nikkei up more than 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up about 0.6%. European markets trading in mixed territory at last check. U.S. futures contracts trading higher. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Alliance for Lifetime Income. Educating Americans about annuities and protected lifetime income online and across America as sponsor of the Rolling Stones 2019 U.S. Tour at AllianceForLifetimeIncome.org.
It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock already, and the cavalcade is rolling in for the arts.
That's right. You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, local independent member-supported media in northern Minnesota, operating translators K210DR in Brainerd, 89.9 FM, K280AT in Ely at 103.9 FM. Listen at KAXE.org or tell your smart speaker to play KAXE. Our most reliable source of funding is you, our listener members. Go to KAXE.org to become a member now. Little extra gift when you do it on New Member Friday.
Cloudy skies today, early then partial clearing later in the day. Highs in the low to mid 70s with northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 40s. Saturday, overcast all day, highs in the upper 50s to low 60s, light north winds. And then on Sunday morning, Sunday morning clouds leading to sunshine in the afternoon, highs in the low to mid 60s with light west winds.
We receive support from Slim's Bar and Grill in Bemidji, located on Ann Street, known for burgers, veggie burgers, homemade soups, and personalized service. More at slimsbarandgrill.com and on Facebook.
Also want to thank the Bonner Eye Clinic in Hibbing and Grand Rapids, serving the eye care needs for this region for over 50 years, and the Forest Lake Restaurant in Grand Rapids. Whether it's casual meal, appetizers, or dinner with a glass of wine, the Forest Lake Restaurant truly does have something for everyone.
Coming up, we're going to learn some Minnesota history, and then we begin the Cavalcade of the Arts. We're going to be headed to Grand Rapids. We're also finding out what's going on in Brainerd and Bemidji, Park Rapids, and Ely.
I'm very excited for this interview.
Yeah, I know you are. And, well, I'm going to... You can mention us here, but let's first start. We've got in the studio with us. We're finding out what's going on in Grand Rapids. Katie Marshall, Executive Director of the McCroskey Arts Center, is with us, along with Dan Anderson, one of the featured artists at the McCroskey this month. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Have him there, John?
Yeah. He's there. Try it again, Dan.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep.
I guess we got to peg it.
Yeah. All right, Katie, thanks for coming in. Let's first hear what's going on throughout the town of Grand Rapids.
For First Friday, yeah, we've got a great lineup. At Frame Up this month, they are going to be featuring Jordan Weiss. He's a Grand Rapids photographer who takes pictures of everything and anything as Wise Guy Images. He'll be showing some of his local work, but he also enjoys taking pictures of his travels to exotic places, and he's always got some great shots on display, so you can see that down at Frame Up. At the VFW tonight for the post-First Friday music, there's Sam Miltich and Friends as always. Their guest, featured guest, is Doug Haining this month on the Winds. He'll be joining Sam, Matthew, and Jay Epstein, so that'll be a great show from 7 to 10.
On the Winds, is that?
Winds,
that
yes.
That means like clarinet
it means
and?
Saxophone and clarinet and kind of, so he's primarily sax, but he does a fair amount of clarinet as well.
Wow.
So you get
on
a little combo.
On the Winds, I love that.
Yep. Doug on the Winds. So he'll be there. Should be a great show. The Itasca Vintage Car Club is going to be out in the parking lot, the old Kramer's lot on the corner of Highway 2 and First Avenue again. All vintage or special interest cars are welcome. You can stop by and check those out. In the mall, Crafted by Itasca Life Options will be open and showcasing the latest artwork made by their artists of all abilities. They've got their great new recently remodeled space. So if you didn't get to check that out in August at their grand opening, you can stop by and see that again at Crafted in the mall. At Bender's Shoes, their guest artist is Serenity Barden. She is a realism oil painter. She is in her teens. She lives in Hibbing, and she's a fantastic emerging artist. She'll be showing her work at Bender's. She is driven to authentically capture the world around her. She's been creating realistic paintings since 2017, capturing life like landscape, still life, and portraits. At Old Central School, you can check in with the artists in residence up on the third floor. Mary Myers Corwin and Leah Yellowbird should be there this evening. David Dobbs will be across the street, but you can check out his work that is on display there, as well as Whitney Lemming Salisbury and Aaron Wilson Reiners. Also in the school, they have put together a back-to-school artist showcase where they're featuring local student artists who will be showing their work throughout the school. Jack Place, who's a junior, has been playing piano since eighth grade, so he'll be playing piano in the building throughout the evening. Taya McDowell is a sophomore. She sketches and paints with acrylic. She'll have her work on display. Kate Silvis is an eighth grader who paints with acrylic and watercolor on canvas and also likes to paint ceramics. Alyssa Bolin is in eighth grade as well. She paints on wood, ceramics, and canvas. And Hannah Martin is a senior. She'll be displaying her handmade jewelry. So that's all within Old Central School. You can check that out. And then at Brood Awakenings, their featured artwork for the month of September is work by youth from the Ground Floor Youth Center. Plus, they have a special display, a photographic display of the past 55 years of WDSE-WRPT. So they have a showcase of how they've served the community through public media over the past 55 years. They'll have music at Brood as well by Ariana Aiken from 4 to 6 p.m.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of stuff. We haven't even gotten to the McCroskey yet.
The unflappable one. Yeah, what's going on at the McCroskey?
Well, your guess is as good as mine right now, because when I left yesterday, one of our exhibits is being installed this morning, so the artist should be arriving after I leave here today. So that one's in the Minnesota Gallery. Cam Zabruin, he's a ceramic artist. He'll have sculptural ceramics on display. He kind of describes it as kind of a mixture of painting and sculpture and ceramics. So it's he'll be showing his work from a series entitled Atlas. And then in the McCroskey Gallery, we have Dan Anderson, local filmmaker and multimedia artist. And that one is also, I'm glad Dan's here to tell us more about it, because right now all I can tell you is there will be some audio, there will be some visual.
And I heard there's a lot of TV sets all over the damn place, Dan. What's going on over there?
I've got a few TVs.
Also, we once know, are you known as the bearded child anymore? I know you're not exactly a child, but you have a slight beard. But
well, the old film festival, once in a while, we still do an event here and there,
Now, Dan was when did you used to host music programs. I want to talk about your exhibit, but on KXE.
Yeah, I was thinking,
how old were you when you started doing that?
Well, I started way back in the ICC days, so probably around 2001.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, cool. Okay, so there's all we know is there's a bunch of TVs and it's multimedia. We need more.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
Yeah, a bunch of TVs, probably 20 or 30 of them.
I mean, big ones, little ones?
Mostly smaller ones. Yeah, I just got a nice lot of about 16 little 13-inch TVs, and they've all got my own film work. I shoot in Super 8 film, and then I transfer it to video, and it's mostly like a little film loops of kind of a folksy community events and things like that, but I sort of edit them in kind of a offbeat kind of way, it's pretty far out. It's like, I give you a little hint. It's a little bit.
Well, I didn't expect anything less.
Yeah, that would be weird if you said it was tame. And you have a camera with you right now. Something going
on? Well, that's, always just in case. You never know.
So 8mm you shoot it with?
8mm and 16mm, yep. So it's a little bit on the expensive side to do it, but I think just the look of it is really just outstanding.
Is that like somebody liking a record versus a CD? You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's a bit like that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't even know what we're talking about, but it's an actual film strip that runs through a projector, and you have to transfer it to video. but it has a very unique texture to it. And it's also, like I say, it's about you shoot 16mm. It's 2.5 minutes. The roll is about $50. Another $50 a process.
Wow.
And you gotta transfer. So, but every second is precious, So when I do shoot it, I try to, make sure that it's, something I want to shoot.
So give us an example of what we might see. So it's a little bizarre. Community type things.
Well, I'll say it doesn't sound bizarre when I'm talking about it, but for instance, I've got a Super 8 millimeter film from the Hope Watermelon Festival in Hope, Arkansas, and it's the largest watermelon festival in the country, and it's a documentary of the people there, and there's all kinds of Confederate flags and all that kind of fun stuff that we all it's really it's good stuff. And then one thing I just finished last night, which I was pretty stoked about, I guess is a good word. Just a couple weeks ago, I started shooting water towers around here. And I've got a water tower movie of all these local water towers, but it's shown on an installation of 9 televisions. And they're water towers. We've got, Reamer, Deer River, Calumet, Cromwell, Hill City is there. So a lot of the local listeners, you might see your favorite water tower.
So it's a video of water towers. Is there any movement going on?
Well, it's shot on 16mm, and I kind of shoot it in a very kind of, like I say, the film is precious, so I shoot little clips at a time, and then the film is looped. So it's about a 2-minute film, but it's kind of designed, you're supposed to kind of maybe watch it a few times and kind of, it's 2 minutes, but it could be for you yourself, it could be a 2-hour movie, if you want it to be.
So let's go back to the Watermelon Festival, okay? So when you take a picture, when a photographer takes a picture, you want the person to walk away feeling something. So what are you going to walk away, from the Watermelon Festival feeling like?
Boy, that's a good one. Well, I think you'll definitely you get a sense of like the other side of you know, what's going on in the world. It's kind of there's some similarities to here, but it's a totally different you know, and I don't want to belittle a culture because it's a great, yeah, interesting culture, but you watch the film and it could be it's 1960 until you see somebody take out a cell phone and then you think, what? They don't have cell phones in 1960. What's going on here? So it's kind of, you know, Hope, Arkansas. It's actually a birthplace of Bill Clinton, but it's kind of one of the really true timeless areas, you know, that we've got. So I try to find those kind of areas. You know, I also go to places like, you know, around the range is really great for some timelessness also. I kind of try to find places that haven't been, big boxed, I guess.
So, Dan, I don't know. Do you ever use VHS?
Yeah, I sure do. There's another movie I've got that's showing. It's called Daytime 1990. And when I was a kid, I loved television. I could watch, you know, 12 hours a day, and I would love every second of it. I wouldn't trade that. I just absolutely love television. And as a kid, it was just my favorite thing was just to watch television. And so I found at a thrift store, it was a long VHS it was a 4-hour tape. You can set it to 4 hours. So it's 4 hours of daytime soap operas. And I went through and edited all my favorite parts into a movie. It's
wow! Yeah, it's from... Remember that when you would set your VHS to tape soap opera?
Yes. Yeah.
What were your favorite soap operas? All of them?
I didn't care much for the soap operas back in the old days, but
Bold and Beautiful, anything
like that.
That's
John's favorite. That's why he's saying that.
You know, I like TV so much, I don't even care what's on. You know, just turn it on and I'll watch it. I don't even really pay much attention to what the show is.
I have a question for you. I was at a friend's house who's having a rummage sale right now, and I was bringing some stuff there on Wednesday night. And so this might still be available if you are interested in this. They had for sale a Sony Watchman.
Wow, okay.
And you put
those little tiny things?
Well, you put a VHS tape in it, and then there's a screen, and it's like you can put it on your belt or that kind of thing. I've never seen those.
Yeah.
If you let me know afterwards, because I can maybe track that down for you still if you have an interest. Since it sounds like you like devices as well as the images.
Well, the small rabbit ear TVs I collect, if anybody's listening, because the thrift stores no longer offer them. You can't get them at a thrift store.
Do you have any tiny ones?
Those are the ones that,
Are there going to be tiny ones at the McRosty?
I might have we'll see. You'll see. If you have a request.
I felt super hip when I went to college. My mom got me one of those little TVs, and it was in my dorm room. It was black and white.
Just turn your head.
I'm not that old, but for some reason, when it first came out, it wasn't in color yet, the little TV, you know?
Sure. So Dan, what is more fun for you, to do the video or to edit the video?
That's a good question. Shooting the video, I like to go to these events, first off, and I'm pretty good about kind of slipping in, you know, the watermelon movie and things like that. I can... pretty good about slipping in and they don't notice. You know, it's something that's gotten good at that. But then the fun part is in the editing process. Like some of the movies have some situations that seem really you know, I edit, you know, and sometimes people don't understand that, you know, they... I've got some movies where it looks like things are happening that they didn't actually happen that way, you know, so it's kind of playing with perception a little bit there. So, yeah, I enjoy both of them. Yeah.
So your exhibit is called Concepts of Self. Does that mean, is there something of you in these, or what does that mean to you?
I mean, potentially, there's a lot of documentary type you know, material too. And I think kind of a lot about how people present themselves. You know, like you have, like I say, you have Arkansas next to Minnesota, next to, I've got Paris, France in there next to that, you know, so kind of mixing up the places. And I think, regionally people identify differently, and I'm sort of interested in how, you know, people identify themselves, you know, I guess by region and otherwise.
Yeah. Do you have any, editors, producers that you look up to? Movie producers?
Or directors?
Directors? Sounds shaky here, Daniel. You can't pull one out real fast.
It's always a tough one. I mean, I always liked, you know, David Lynch was one. I was kind of got me into film a long time ago. Harmony Korine is a good one, too,
Okay. All right.
It's always a tough question. Yeah.
So you grew up in Grand Rapids. You went on to study film. You have a BFA in film studies from the University of Colorado and MFA in electronic integrated arts from Alfred University. But I sort of know you as you used to host movie nights at McCroskey, and you also had the Bearded Child Film Festival. Was a small town in northern Minnesota a good place for opportunity with your passion for film?
Well, absolutely it was. I think growing up in Minnesota, like, I did want to do film stuff, and I had this idea that because I was in Grand Rapids, I had to try a lot harder, because once I kind of went out elsewhere, that, you know, the big city kids would be so far ahead of where I was. But then I found out that it was actually, it tends to be the small town people that try harder than to do a little bit more. And the city kids sometimes are the ones that are kind of take stuff for granted a little bit, you know. So yeah, I think that definitely helped. And yeah, it's fun to be back at the McCroskey. I mean, that's, you know, where I cut my teeth, you know, as I think I was probably 16 years old, you know, the first time. And we actually would show 16 millimeter films that at that time they were throwing away all the 16-millimeter films in the dumpster. And I actually, my biggest score was at the administrative building. You know, I'd go and look every once in a while. One day there was about 8 or 9 projectors and piles of films in the dumpster. And that's actually kind of how I got my start. Yeah, but
when you got the van and started loading it in.
Yeah.
Do you remember what films were in there?
There's one called The Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, which is just an old classic that was just right there in the dumpster. I think it was on the Twilight Zone at one time. There was some Czech animation was there that
Czech
was just
animation.
Very rare stuff. Yeah, apparently the Grand Rapids High School had somebody who was they all said, I think Idlebus was the name. There was a certain name on there.
Yeah.
That was that.
Yeah,
okay,
he's a social teacher.
Okay, Idlebus had really good taste in movies. And, yeah. anything with his name on it was just whoever was
Rod Idlebus.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love
excellent
to hear that.
Taste in movies.
That's
yeah.
Rod still
I
Rod?
Never met him,
oh, yeah.
but that's oh. Inspiration. Yeah.
Rod Idlebus, if you're listening, John says he's still around, so he should come.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now before we go, I will let you mention that you enjoy his hair.
Oh, my gosh. It just threw me for a loop.
We laughed for maybe a full minute,
well, I
all
mean,
of us here.
I think
here.
For about 15 years in your life, you combed your hair with a fork. Now it looks like you use a blower and everything.
Really?
Looking good.
Oh, this is the up all night look here that you got this morning here. So.
He's envious.
I'm envious.
Wow.
Sure.
So you've painted a picture. This sounds like something you can't exactly put words to, so people will need to go out and see what's going on tonight. Will there be artist talk?
Yeah, we usually do our artist talks at 6, so come on down for that. Applebee's is doing the food tonight. We'll have a spread, so yeah, should be a good time.
Holy cow. Well, Dan, thank you. Welcome back to KEXE.
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, it's been too long. Good to see everybody.